Oh, yeah, at about 11 minutes before the hour, it's time for a Bloody Mary, I'd say, right?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Ooh, I am drinking a Bloody Mary mix, virgin Bloody Mary, ladies and gentlemen, with a little piece of okra stuck in it. Okra, that's right. You're in the produce market, okay, right? You're walking by the okra. You're walking towards the lettuce. You're walking by the okra. You're walking towards the scallions. Don't walk by the okra anymore. Jessica Harris is with us, food and cultural historian and author of the book Beyond Gumbo, Creole Fusion Food from the Atlantic Rim. Good morning. You have brought so many goodies into the studio here. I'm just all goosebumps. First of all, okra comes from Africa, so it's much broader than the Atlantic Rim here, right?
Well, actually it is, because the thing that's so funny about okra is it begins in Africa. It actually has its genesis in what geohistorians, geographers call that Abyssinian plateau, right? The sort of Ethiopia-Eritrea, yep. And it moves both east and south from there. So you see that you get this whole growth of the little green pod. I always like to say wherever okra points its little tip, yeah, Africa has passed.
Oh, that is so great.
That is cute.
You know, the let me just look at the shape. Now, evoke in your mind, folks, the shape of the okra. It's a curious little seed pod, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, it looks like a plant, like other plants. But the great thing about okra is when you start to cook it and mess with it in the kitchen, it has such amazing properties. And, Jessica, I looked up in a chemistry text, all right? Listen to this. The anti-adhesive qualities of okra, the mushiness, right, the yuckiness
slime.
Of it, are assumed to be due to a combination of glycoproteins and highly acidic sugar compounds making up a complex three-dimensional structure that is fully developed only in the fresh juice of the fruit. This is one complex, heavy-duty piece of vegetable here.
Well, there it would be.
Yes, indeed. So why do you love and what is it about okra that makes it fun to cook with?
Well, I like it because of its, what I like to call, its mucilaginous properties, otherwise known as the slime.
There we go.
And I think that one of the things that we don't do, and one of the things that I love about it, is how we can use the slime, if you will.
Right.
I mean, so we can use it to bind sauces. It becomes a thickener. You can use it to...
And we've got some succotash here where
that's
exactly going
on. We've got a southern succotash where that's going on. Watch out for that habanero. We don't want to lose you.
Oh, you won't lose me.
Okay.
But I could go home early today. I mean,
well, that's
a good idea.
That could be it.
You got me thinking.
Just a couple of bites ought to do that. And the idea is just okra, corn, and tomatoes. And when you put them together, it's like a perfect summer mixture. And the great thing about the southern succotash, the okra, corn, and tomatoes, is you can do it with the fresh vegetables in the summertime, but you can also do it with the canned or the put-up vegetables in the winter.
And these days you can get okra pretty much everywhere.
Pretty much everywhere, right. And fair to middlingly year-round.
Right.
I mean, not always good in the winter, in the dead of winter, but... pretty much year-round.
See, you know, John, I grew up with a southern grandparents, two sets of grandparents from the South. I'm not afraid of okra's taste. Okra is delicious to me. I'm afraid of cooking it. I feel like I don't know how to cook
it.
Well, the thing about cooking it is it's simple. First of all, you can eat it raw. I mean, that's the thing most people forget is you can just eat it raw, snap it, get the very, very young ones, the sort of fresh little pods about the size of your little finger. And if they, you know, if you try them, if they let you at your market, you know, snap them, and if they're really crunchy, you're good to go.
Can I tell you, Celeste, my 11-year-old, the same age as your son, Zoe, is obsessed, loves, her favorite snack food is pickled okra.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's this wonderful guy at the Green Market in New York City who makes something called smokra.
That's what's in the Bloody Mary here, right? A smoky okra.
It's a pickled smoky okra, and that's what's in the Bloody Mary is the garnish.
Delicious.
Let's talk temperature for a moment. Is okra sensitive to high temperature, middle temperature, refrigeration, those kinds of things?
Well, not really. I would say it's pretty stable. It's pretty...
Because you can deep fry
okra. You can deep fry it. You can steam it. You can blanch it, which I like to do. Just blanch it and then toss it with a vinaigrette as a salad. You can do all sorts of different things with it. So you've got a wide variety of cooking techniques that you can use. You've got all sorts of possibilities.
What kind of things could you substitute with okra?
Instead of okra?
Yeah, like if you were making, what kind of dishes in which can we pull out one vegetable and substitute okra? I've stumped her.
You have almost stumped me. Not quite. I would use it in some dishes instead of string beans.
Yeah.
I mean, I tend to do string beans, blanch them, and then sauté them with minced garlic in butter. I could do that with okra. That would work pretty well. Okra, though, is so particular. It's a very delicate taste, which is strange, but it's because of its mucilaginous, its slime, it it kind of takes over things. So you don't really want to substitute it. I wouldn't put it in coq au vin instead of the onions kind of thing.
There you go.
You'd end up with a coq au gombo.
Right. What are the other qualities beyond cooking that are associated with okra? It has medicinal qualities. It has almost a mystical reputation in the places where it's been used in cooking for centuries.
Well, one of the things that's interesting about it is used in a lot of African religions in the New World context. So in Bahia and Candomblé, they use okra as offerings so that Shango or Babalu Omolu will all take dishes made with okra. And those recipes are amazing because we talk about the little bit of slime that we get if we steam or boil okra. But in those dishes, they'll have a recipe that'll say something like, take 10 okra pods, cut each okra pod 10 times, cut each seed 10 times. And so you get this absolute sort of slide of okra that is almost like a cellulose curtain. But I think the other thing in terms of medicinal properties, as you mentioned, it's an emollient. It makes things slip. It makes things move. It has even been used, and this is, do not follow what I say. Right. This is what I have read somewhere. It can be used for abortion.
Really?
In some cases.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that, actually.
Yeah, you probably have.
Yep.
If you read that chemical stuff, you've definitely
read that.
Yeah, that's
right. Well, the chemical book said that it actually prevents bacteria from adhering to the inside of your body.
Just
one of the qualities. Well, Jessica Harris, this has been great. Thanks for the succotash. You can find a recipe on our website at thetakeaway.org for succotash blanched okra salad. And Jessica Harris is the food and cultural historian and author of the book Beyond Gumbo, Creole Fusion Food from the Atlantic Rim. Come back soon, won't you?
I'll try.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.